tape in this 12-tape series is going to take you right before the throne of God, when the spectacular realities of heaven, where the Lion of the tribe of Judah, where Jesus, the root of David, where he is brought forth to open the book. It's mainly going to speak about the prayers, what happens to your prayers when you pray to heaven, of all nationalities of the world. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, is able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, and neither to look thereupon. And one of the elders saith unto me, now the four of the 24 elders in heaven around the throne, "Weep not, archangel, just weep not, strong angel. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elder, stood a lamb, as it had been slain." Now there's Jesus standing right in the middle of the elders, right there, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. We had taken the book, the four beasts, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people of the world, and has made unto us our God, kings and priests. We shall reign with him." Coming back to the 8th verse in the 5th chapter of the book of Revelation, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one harps and golden vials." Now, perfume is put in a little vial, and many times the ladies will carry it with them when they go out in the evening and put some of the perfume from out of that little vase or little vial. Many things are put in there in these fancy containers and put on the shelves of the homes and the mantles in different places. Before the lady will go out, she'll put a little on her so she'll smell nice walking down the street. It's the same thing with many men. They go for all kinds of perfumes. When they shave, they want to put on Old Spice or something so their hands will smell good when they shake hands. That's just the natural attribute of a person to fix themselves up. But these vials in heaven are not such a thing. Now, I want you to try to think of containers. 20 gallons, which is quite big, 15 gallons, 10 gallons. Vials are containers sitting all around the throne of God, sitting all around there, right around. And here now praying in unison, or praying in the power of the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit of God, praying in the old-fashioned way of intercession of prayer, or even travail of prayer. When they pray upon this earth, the blood-bought saints praying. Many prayed in there in their troubles. Many prayed in their trials. Many prayed at the hands of their taskmasters. Many prayed upon as many prayers gone up from this earth, getting what you'd call relief, or getting vengeance, or even getting relief from their sorrows and their heartaches and their murders and all of the different things that's happened upon this earth, being forced in the corner to pray. That's happened to the human race by wicked men. That's happened to the human race of all nations under heaven, when some people would get the upper hand over a person, make them do things. They can't go anywhere, can't turn left or right, can't go up or go down, so they revert to prayer. Many in prison, been put in prison falsely, so they go in the corner of the dark cell and pray. This is men put in the corner. This is men seeking relief from this trouble, the trouble of the body. Prayer sometimes changes things. And then the human race gets in prayer together and begins to pray. All nations pray. They pray. Some pray to Buddha. Some pray to different beliefs. But there is a prayer to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world. There's a prayer to Him. And the prayer to Him is what happens. Now, as I said before, the prayer of the human race, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That prayer goes up to heaven, and it lands upon the golden altar. Now, it's a long ways from this earth to heaven. Let's look at a trillion miles. Let's look at a long way out there where this planet is, the planet heaven. Here's this earth way down in this orbit down here around this sun. But there's a place there. When I was a little boy, that my grandfather set up there, grandmother set up there. There is a planet, a place where God dwells. God's heaven, God's place, which I've told about, the 24 elders up in heaven. So in heaven, the prayers are put upon the golden altar. Now, this is the work of the ladies, the women of heaven. Everybody has a position in heaven to do. No lazy people in heaven. You're all a part of the great move of God. Dancers before the throne, and all of these wonderful, wonderful things going on in heaven. But let's look at the prayers. What happens to the prayers when you pray? You'll hear people say, well, I prayed last night. Well, where did your prayers go? Some will say, well, I'll just say a little prayer. Well, where did that prayer go? Some will say, well, we'll pray. Let us pray, and you'll be generals will pray, and deacons will pray, and preachers will pray, and even men in the army, they'll have their chaplains, and they'll pray. Chaplains in prison pray. So then the word prayer is a word that's used universally all over the world. Well, let's pray. People say, well, let's pray about it. Let's do some pray. But they stop very little to think of where that prayer is going. Where does that prayer go? Just words? Just hanging around the prayer? Or does it go somewhere? Who are they praying to? The Muslims pray to Allah. And the Catholic people pray to the Virgin Mary. And they pray, and others pray to Jesus. And others pray direct to God. For Jesus said, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Jesus taught us how to pray to the Father. So there's many, many forms of prayer. And so you look at somebody and have their head down. What are you doing? Well, I'm praying. I'm talking to God. I'm praying. And this is a natural thing that man does, to look somewhere, to speak to some supernatural being, and put their prayers expecting to get an answer, expecting something to happen, expecting something to happen. That's true. Now, I've lost many things. When I have, I've tried to look for them, couldn't find them. So I've just bowed my head and pray and go right to it and find it, because the Spirit has directed me to it. So therefore, I believe in prayers, because God answers prayer. Then your mother may be sick, so you pray for them. And all of these prayers going somewhere, someplace. So the prayers of the beautiful prayers of the men and women of God who pray sincerely to heaven. And they pray and they expect that prayer to go somewhere. Somewhere, someplace where it'll get an answer. Now there's such a thing as prayer for the sick. Prayer to get out of bondage. There's prayer for things upon this earth. Pray that I can pay my mortgage. Pray that I can make my car payment, and all these things. So they pray. and then it comes up. And some woman, I remember one time to me, said, I got the money. I prayed for the money to pay for all my I got it. I got it. And very happy because she had just her car payment. That's all she had. And then it had to come up again another month. But she prayed for that and felt happy because she'd got that little bit of money to put on the car that she could drive that car for another month. Now, that's a prayer, but it happened. But there's the general prayers of the children of God. The prayers where they know, without a doubt, those prayers are going to heaven. And I've had the experience of praying through, what you call praying through. Felt when the prayer went through, felt the lightness when the prayer hit heaven's gates. Now here is these golden altar and the brazen altar. So the prayer goes right on to God when Jesus said, Our Father who art in heaven. The prayer goes right onto the altar of God, the golden altar, which is the altar there before God, where just by is a slain replica of the slain lamb, where there are all of those around the altars, the women working around the altars, praying all along the front of the throne of God, prayers going along there in all the altars of heaven. Somehow or another, it feels good to a human to have something to kneel down and pray. Like the altar in a church, some churches have taken them out and forgot all about the altar. But that is so that there's a prayer expecting to go somewhere. So then this prayer goes up and on the golden altar. Now when it goes on that golden altar, it's the words there. The words you said have landed there. The words that Jesus said have landed upon that altar. Then they're transferred by the women over to the brazen altar, which is the altar of hot coals of fire. When the prayers hit the golden altar, it turns into a mist or a odor or a actual substance of like an incense. Actually, then you can see it come into a mist or into a spirit of God, you can see, and then from there it goes up to the altar of God, right up to the top of God's head. Now there's a tremendous amount of prayers going up, and God considers every prayer. He considers every prayer, but so many are coming up one time, maybe 10,000 prayers in a minute coming up to God. So then around God's throne, there is Jesus, who played the price on Calvary. And then there are these vials or containers. Containers. That's right, containers. 10-gallon containers. And those prayers, until the time God's ready to answer them, they're placed in these vials or in these containers. I'll read it to you again. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before Jesus or before the Lamb, have every one of them harps. Now here they were playing their harps, and the golden vials full of odors. Now the prayer becomes a sweet-smelling odor before God. Your prayer is there, right around the throne of God. It's touched the throne of God. I remember as a young man, when I was starting into the ministry, the old preacher that was doing a lot of teaching for me, he said, didn't you feel that prayer touch the throne of God? I felt it touch the throne of God. I remember when I was receiving the Spirit of the living God, being filled with the Holy Ghost, there was a man by the name of Sullivan who had been a missionary in the Congo and a full-blood American Indian woman. She was a real saint of God. She was kneeling on the other side. And she, after the name, she was a realer believing God, a saint of God. She was on the other side. And here we were praying, and I felt when the power of God and the Holy Ghost hit my body, the power of the Spirit of God hit me like a thunderbolt, hit me like a real light or a combustion of fire came on me. And you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And therefore, I've learnt to pray. Sometimes I played the prayer of desperation. Oh, God, let me see thy heaven. Oh, God, let me come to prayer for almost 7 years. I still have visions and dreams of heaven, many of them. And I get in touch with heavenly spirits, with the spirits of heaven, real spirits of the living God, real angels. And all the wonderful, they come before me with my eyes. And when I'm praying, here comes the spiritual beings before me very clear, as clear as can be. I'm in touch with heaven. When you're baptized into the Holy Ghost in the spiritual world of heaven. So then it's a wonderful reality to know and have the experience of a heavenly connection, of a connection from this earth into the city of God, into God's city. It happened all through the Bible days when the prophets were in touch with God and God spoke to them, and also the different ones in the New Testament times. There they were, Jesus himself, the Lamb of God, to come to this earth, and he told us how to pray. So then here's the prayers, gone into heaven, made it all the way up these trillion miles into inside of heaven. Here they are landing upon the golden altar, landing upon there. Then to the brazen altar, then rising up before the throne of God. And here they are, some reserved till God feels he should answer them. Sometimes God will let you wait a little bit before he answers a prayer. He'll wait maybe two or three days, maybe as much as a year. He'll let you wait till that prayer is answered. There's, of course, an emergency number. You can always call, and that's J-E-S-U-S. That's Jesus. That's in case of emergency. He'll go right before the Father immediately for you in an emergency. Really go before you. But here's this prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Here's the prayers of the saints, prayers of the persecuted, prayers of the missionaries, prayers of the ones that have been slain, like Jesus slain. So here they are before God. Here they all these prayers. And in the midst of those is the 24 elders and the 4 beasts, all operating in unison before the great God Jehovah, before the God of the heavens, before God. And here stands Jesus, the Lamb of God that went to Calvary and was slain upon the cross to shed his blood for you and me. Here he stands in the midst of it all, petitioning God for you. There he is. He opens the book and there he is right there. And he's worthy because he was slain for people. He was slain for you upon the cross. He gave his life for you upon the cross. And there he is in heaven. I saw him in heaven, right there, in the presence of God the Father. And when he had taken the book, I read it again, the 4 beasts, the 24 elders fell down before Jesus, before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. Here they were with their harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, the prayers of you, the prayers of God's people. There they're put in these containers. They're put in these containers held before the throne of God when they're emptied out. When they're emptied out, up over God's head, emptied out, right over God. And God can decipher every prayer. It could be a million prayers come from different parts and nations of the world. But yet God can understand everyone. Now just think of all these prayers coming to God, to the Lamb. Millions and millions of prayers, billions from all over the world, coming and coming right into the presence of God. Oh, what a wonderful reality. So then, here they are put in these containers. So then when the Spirit of God moves, 7 Spirit of God moving around the throne, they'll take one of these vials and empty the prayers right over God's head. And he begin to decipher every prayer, every last prayer, he'll decipher it, and then he sends the answer back. He moves the earth, he moves the atmosphere, he moves the Spirit around this earth and cause this to happen. Cause this prayer to be answered. And here it is, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, and open the seals. Now, not only do they open the seals, but Jesus opened the vial. He opens the vial with your prayers in. Here, Father, here's some of my praying people down here. He'll take that vial. Jesus himself will open it up and put the prayers to his Father. Now, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And no man can come to the Father with your prayers except through and by Jesus. You always use Jesus. Jesus standing there before God to answer your prayer. So here it is very clear and very plain. And here's what happens. And take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. Here he was slain standing there. And there is his blood has been applied to your prayer. And he'll open a container, open a vial. And there he will put it before God. Now it very clearly said, redeemed us to God by thy blood. Now he shed the blood on Calvary. And he shed that blood to give him the right to be there to represent us in heaven. And it happens very, very clear. And the tongues. Kindred. Now notice, every kindred and tongues of people and nations. It takes your tongue to pray. You have to use your tongue to pray. So these tongues that have been praying, all the different dialects of the world, come before God. He understands Norwegian. He understands French. He understands all the dialects of the world. And I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels. Here's this all happened at the same time. John on Patmos heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. There they are, all operational action before the throne of God. Can you all these thousands of angels participating in this great prayer answering time, in this prayer answering time of God, where he's answering your prayer. And the beast and the elders, and the number of them was, now listen, the number of these angels, the number, it was just not a little few. I saw them, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Now, that's a lot in itself. And a thousands of thousands on top of that, which comes up into the millions. So here's millions of angels around during this all operation of the prayer answering time. The prayer answering time. So your prayers are not only going up before God, and before Jesus, before the elder, but it's also going up before thousands and thousands and thousands of angels. Now, can you imagine 10,000 times 10,000 thousands of angels standing before God, participating in the prayer answering session in heaven? You're not moving just a little bit of something, but your prayer is moving all of heaven. It's moving 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels before God. And that's what's happening to your prayer. I tell you, that'll move the whole world. And there's what they're saying with a loud voice. It's a loud voice. Worthy is Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Here he is among all the angels and among all of those ready to take your prayer before God, before his Father. What a tremendous act, as I saw it. And slain to receive power and riches. Now and wisdom and strength. Now riches. I'll tell you, there's no limit to the riches of God for you, if you'll only serve him. And strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now he's glorified by his Father. There he is. He was slain. I saw him as he was in heaven. There he was. And all of these prayers going up, what a great big happening as God begins. Then, as it happens, as God begins to happen, here comes the thunderings of God out of the throne. The voice of God begins to move all of the universe because God is answering those prayers. And here's the thunderings coming out of God's throne. Tremendous thunder. It's a spectacular sight to see the thunders. I saw it in heaven. And the thunder. Listen. And a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature, every animal, every creature, everyone, every creature. I'm talking about dinosaurs. I'm talking about monkeys. I'm talking about everything but God's creation of every creature. Every creature, says very clear, and every creature which is in heaven. Now, there's creatures in heaven, not only being every creature's in heaven, and on the earth and under the earth, which such as are in the sea, and all of them, all of that in, oh, it's wonderful, in them, heard saying, they heard the prayers, they heard God answering, the prayers in heaven. It moved the whole of heaven. Your prayers can move the whole of heaven. They're the prayer, blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that was sitteth upon the throne, and unto Jesus, and unto the Lamb, forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worship him that liveth forever and ever. Now here you're dealing with eternity. Here you're dealing with a God that lives forever. What's the use of praying to a duck? What's the use praying to some animal? That's not going to do you. What's the use of praying to a statue? You pray to the living power of the living God. Now that might be a symbol for you to pray to God. It might be a reminder. Something you see upon this earth might remind you to pray. I remember driving by a graveyard one time. There was a man being buried, and the preacher said, "Boy, look at that. We better do some praying." It brought him, that funeral became a symbol for him to pray. Now, there is symbols upon this earth would lead you. The cross, wearing a cross is a symbol, reminds you of Jesus went to the cross. But you don't pray to that cross. You pray to Jesus. You pray to heaven. You pray to life. You pray to the living God. You pray to reality. Because that's what happens to your prayers in heaven. Now, you saw not just two or three containers, but hundreds of containers sitting around this vast area full of prayers. The area of the throne is tremendous. Not just a little stool up there, a little chair, but it's a tremendous, great big throne, 2,000 miles or more to the top of God's head, and the vast area around the throne of God where the 24 elders are, and where they're walking around, thousands of angels. And sitting there before God are these hundreds of vials full of prayers, full of the prayers of the saints. So I saw this in heaven, saw it in vision, saw it happening. So let's pray. Father, as we pray right now, we ask you, O God, to answer this prayer. As this prayer goes up before you, O God, bless the people out that hears this tape. Bless them abundantly they might find relief from their sorrows and their tears and all of their heartaches. You might be able to answer their prayers, Father, and speak peace to their heart and their soul. Now, this prayer is going up before God, because God hears my prayers. We're petitioning. I petition you, Father, in behalf of that cripple, in behalf of that one that is suffering, torment of the mind. I pray, O God, for that displaced person, that person without a fixed place of abode. I pray, O God, that you'd move some way as this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. May God bless you and keep you, as my prayer. For next half of this tape will be more inside of heaven. Next half of this tape is going to be all inside of heaven, as you know more about heaven. May God bless you. On the second half of this tape, after the wonderful experiences before the throne and the vials and all of those containers that hold the prayers, then we find that the Jews are coming out and getting saved of the different tribes. But here's what John saw and I saw. And after this, behold, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, it's coming out of all nations. Here John and Patmos saw this very clear. Now, this certainly will be a mixed multitude of people of this earth. They'll become, listen to what it says, coming out of all nations. What a great time that's going to be. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, the four beasts, and fell before the throne, on their faces, and worshiping God, saying, amen, blessing, glory, and wisdom, thanks given to the honor, and power, and might, be to unto our God for ever and ever. And none of the elders answered, saying, and one of the elders answered, saying to me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence come they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which come out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The tribulation will be going full swing, not through it, but going full swing at the great first resurrection. It'll be chaos and trouble here already, but the Lord will be taking us out. He will not go through the tribulation, but the whole world will be in such a mess. And all you got to do is listen to the news. See what's going on in all part of the world. All you can hear is trouble. People doing things contrary to the government law, and you can—it's all going wild. Here you find men falling, womanizing, and all these things happening today, and because this is the condition of the country. And in the 15th verse, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him, and might in the temple, day and night in the temple, and He that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst. Now there'll be no more hunger, neither no more thirst. Any more, neither shall the sun light on them, any heat, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from them. That's exactly what is going to happen. There'll be no want of food in heaven. There'll be eating in heaven, but no want of food. And I want to take you now to the left hand of God. Before tomorrow, I mean in the next album, next tape, going to be spectacular about the bottomless pit. I want to take you now to the left hand of God. There are seven spirits I saw of God in heaven. There were the seven lamps and the seven spirits. And there are seven seats of authority underneath the left hand of God, which is arrayed with all kinds of beautiful silken feathers. But behind those seats is like a large, long corridor. This large, long corridor reaches right behind these seats of authority, right out to the end of the planet heaven. Tremendous long lane. Now, there's going to come a judgment, which we won't talk about now, between the goats and the sheep. God will turn the goats to the left and the sheep. Of course, there'll be lambs before God. That's just a symbol of their name. And they will go left and down through this long corridor, and there will be the bottomless pit, a horrible sight. But we'll come back to these wonderful, wonderful seven spirits of God and the authority of the wonderful power of God on these seats, which they are. Now, authority will be given to the ones in heaven. Heaven is going to be run in an order. When you think of all these people coming out of all these nations of this earth, coming together into one great big planet, certainly be no segregation among that. It'll be completely no more segregation whatsoever. Because all these nationalities of the world will come together in one great, beautiful gathering before God in white robes and palms in their hand. What a type that'll be. There'll be those that have been washed in the blood and filled with the power of the living God. And here is these seven wonderful seats under God's left hand. When you think of what is the authority going to be for, it's going to be used for the purpose to run heaven, to run this great planet heaven. There'll be at least 1,000 years of putting heaven in order, because heaven is one day as 1,000. So it'll take at least that to put heaven in order. God will do it and give everyone their place in heaven. Maybe a man from the down under, Australia, New Zealand, way up north, and this one. We working together in the whole world. God will show the world, show us what he wants. Is all the whole world filled with the Spirit and also washed in the blood of Jesus Christ with these beautiful white robes on, running God's heaven, running his wonderful heaven the way God wants it run. Now, when you think of the vast area of heaven, 2 million miles around it, that makes millions of square miles inside of heaven. 34 squared, only 1,500 cubic miles. And here's all this heaven going to have to be run, administered by and with through the angels and the redeemed ones from all over the world. What a great time that's going to be run perfect. Going to be run beautiful. And everyone will be happy doing their part. But there will be no jealousy, because there will be neither male nor female in heaven. We'll be all of one body, one Christ, one baptism, one Lord. It'll be a wonderful reality. But let's start on those seats now, the seats of authority of Jesus Christ. Now, the first seat that everybody will pass through to get this authority of every nation under heaven will be the seat of love. Now, there you are. God is love. So they'll get a treatment of love. And the first treatment will be so great, so powerful, everyone will pass. So that's going to take 1,000 years for that many to go through there. And they each one will individually sit on the seat to be endowed by the love of God. That is the wonderful God is love, and that person will be saturated love and pass to the next seat with perfect love. Oh, I saw the demonstration of this, how it would take place. And I myself sat on the first seat to understand what the real love of God is. Won't it be wonderful to know that those persons that were redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ will have no more controversy, no more war, no more trouble, no AIDS, none of the diseases of any kind. But first, each one will be endowed with the love of God. With the love of God. That's right. Then the next one, then in order to be able to administer the things of God in heaven. And there will be next the seat of administration. So we as redeemed people will know how to operate heaven. First we'll have love. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a city council was that way? Everyone full of love and everyone knowing how to minister? We certainly wouldn't have any bad cities, would we? Especially when all the people were followers of the true doctrine of Christ. This is what heaven's going to be. This is what God intended earth to be when it got all messed up. But here will be all of those sitting on the seat of authority. Seat of authority. Seat to weigh, to be part of the great, wonderful operation of heaven. Then comes the next seat, the seat of wisdom. Now, of course, with such great operation, millions and millions of people, billion maybe, then they'll have to know how to have wisdom. Wisdom will be all over heaven. Wonderful wisdom. I saw the wisdom of God operating. The wonderful wisdom of God in heaven, operating in heaven. That's right. And then come from the wisdom to administration, wisdom, then wisdom, administration, wisdom, love, administration, wisdom. All, each one operating one of the separate spirits of God. Separate spirits. And then also the next one will be the spirit of knowledge. Now, in the Garden of Eden, Adam was told not to touch that tree, but he did. And here we'll be endowed with knowledge, all the knowledge of eternity, knowledge what is eternal life. So you've got love, administration, you've got all of it, and here we come to knowledge. Wonderful knowledge of God. Be able to knowledge. And then also you'll come to the next one, of long endurance. Not long suffering, but long endurance. In other words, there'll be no one get tired. No one will in no way and get tired of what they're doing. So be long, you'll endure the lovely realities of heaven, so precious that we know such thing as any turmoil or trouble, because God will be in charge of the whole thing. Wisdom, knowledge, and all of these on through. Then also you'll come to the realization of eternal life. You'll realize you're going to live forever. So there'll be the seat of eternity. And until there are seven seats of which you sit on to know how to operate God's heaven. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and longevity. You will not be limited to the certain amount of years. No years. There'll be no end for you. You'll live forever. Therefore, it'll be so wonderful and so precious that you will be living under the anointing of the seven spirits of God, which are operating in all of the citizens of heaven. The seven spirits of God will be endowed on each one of us, and then the seven spirits of God. So beyond the seven seats that are there and under the left hand of God, here comes then beyond that, where the administration is administered. There'll be an area vast there between the end of heaven where all the discussions of God's knowledge, of God's wisdom, will be aired out there, right there, in order to operate heaven. Now, I want you to think of a government upon this earth, how many governments have messed themselves up and turned into chaos. Look at Hitler, all you got, he come to an end. Alexander the Great came to an end. And all these dictators come to an end, every one of them. And then some of the love of God. And the only administration that lasted through all forever is the administration of Jesus Christ. Because it said the government shall be upon his shoulders. And of his government there will be no end. That's the one that God's going to establish with his son in charge in heaven. He'll be counselor. He'll the one's a counselor. He'll counsel us there as we operate God's heaven. What a wonderful sight that will be to know there's a part of heaven where all the administration is taking place, that heaven is run perfect and right. I saw the operation of heaven. That's one of the wonderful, spectacular realities about heaven. And so vast and so big in there, so many, many places to go, that this will be God's heaven in such precious and direct reality. Then beyond these seven spirits of God operating through the seats where you get ordained by God to do the part you have to do in heaven. Then also beyond that is the clock is stopped. Then also it's all right. Praise God. Wonderful. God is real. God is so real and so precious, so wonderful and so real. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is so real. I just told them the clock was stopped. But there's no stopping the clock in heaven. That's real, real. That's good. That doesn't hurt going out on a tape when a clock stops. Praise the Lord. So God is real. And also I'd like to say, too, that the Lord is going to make it last forever. No, nothing will stop in heaven. It'll be going always and forever. Always be going. So God is so real and so precious. Friends, I do want you to realize and without a question realize that heaven is such a place with such a gigantic operation. Then beyond this part of heaven, there will be a vast space beyond where the administration is taking place, a vast space. And this vast space will be so gigantic and so great that it will run all the way over to the edge of heaven's limits. When you get to heaven's limits, you'll find there that the wonderful reality of God will be so precious that you'll enjoy every part of it. Every part of heaven, you'll enjoy the wonderful part of it in Jesus' name. God is so real, friends, and so precious. And I would like to have you realize the beautiful part of heaven. Now we're going on further into heaven. This time we get beyond where this is all happening, where all the administration is taking place. Then beyond that will be the office buildings. where not only the city four square, but where each one will go into his part to counsel together with the ones, for instance, like the ones that's running the music in heaven, the ones that the music makers in heaven. The music makers in heaven will have such a precious and wonderful time that they'll counsel together under the Spirit of God and know what kind of music going to play. That'll be done order, and then know what now. Also, the growth in heaven. God told me this would be through Jesus, that all the fruit trees will be taken care of by precious gardeners. These gardeners will go out to check the fruit, because there will be tons and more tons of fruit to supply the billions in heaven. Now, can you imagine for, let's say, several billion people going to be fed every day? I'm telling you, there's going to be a supply of fruit in heaven. We're going to eat in heaven. We're not just going to sit up there and go hungry, but we're going to eat the fruit of the vine, drink the fruit of the vine. So then all of those people will have to eat fruit every day under the creation of God. What a wonderful place heaven is going to be. Then you go beyond that, going toward the left hand of God further. There you will find where all of the wonderful and precious reality of the animals. They would be administrators of the animals. The animals will be taken care of in heaven, just like they should be upon this earth. There will be, all the animals will have their part, but they'll still be controlled by angels and the redeemed. God intended for to have charge over the animals. That's right, and the fish. So then you'll find out with all these beautiful animals in heaven that has been created ever since God created heaven. And it'd be so wonderful to see these animals partaking in a part of heaven with no smell, no cow manure, none of these things, but beautiful animals. And there there'll be the administrator of the animals, administrating the animals' part. And then just think of the flying eagles in heaven. Flying eagles. So there will be men or humans made angels in heaven. They will then charge, let's say, the flying eagle. So then they'll say to the eagles, you fly all over God's heaven and take this course today, because we love to see the eagles fly. And then we look up overhead over the throne of God, and there will be thousands of eagles doing their part. Not only that, they'll demonstrate for the people of heaven. Instead of looping the loop by a man-made airplane, those angels will perform for the saints of heaven. I tell you, heaven's going to... I saw the spectacular reality of the eagles flying out there and performing for God. Oh, so it will be so beautiful to see all this great operation of God. Then I saw in the water, around the edge of the water, frogs and all kinds of animals that God's recreated in heaven. Here is the frogs jumping all over the place and happy. They're not jumping away, and no animal runs away from the redeemed. But one of the most wonderful things was the squirrels in heaven. Now, the squirrels, they're quite a little animal. They climb the trees, and they go over, and they like nuts, and they eat the nuts. But the squirrels in heaven will crawl right on your shoulder, come and see you and speak to you. Now, can you imagine a speaking animal speaking to you and talking to you? They will not be a dumb animal anymore. Will not be a dumb animal in heaven. You can't talk to a dog now. You can only by instinct. But you'll be able to talk to that dog, and that dog will be able to talk back to you. Now, all the creation of God will be alive. And then there'll be the horses. Imagine going up to a horse and say to that horse, how are you? And the horse will turn back and talk to you. All of the, just like the trumpets talk, every animal in heaven will be able to talk. Even the fish of the sea will be able to talk. God's going to have a living creation able to talk. No such thing as a dumb animal in heaven. No, not at all. And this is one of the spectacular things that you're going to encounter when you get to heaven. You're also, beside that, you're also going to be able to fly up among the birds. Can you imagine? Here is 10,000 eagles flying, and you say, well, I believe I'll get up there and fly among the eagles, because you'll have control of the wonderful power of heaven to soar yourself all around God's heaven. So you go up among the eagles for a while and fly around with them, or even the sparrows, or whatever kind of flying birds up there, you'll take off and fly around with them. This is what heavens I'm talking about. It's not a dead place. Then beyond that, you'll find also the wonderful reality of all of the animals that are big, the dinosaurs and all that, not just little, only little animals. So you talk to that dinosaur and talk to him, bears, tigers, and all kinds of leopards and everything, able to talk to you, all come into communication with you. This is what's happening in God's heaven. Well, how about the little kitty cat that can only say meow around the house? Hear this little kitty cat, be up in heaven, so beautiful and so big, will talk to you, and all animals will be able to talk. There will be no such thing as anything dumb in heaven, not anything. So then this great creation of God in heaven is going to be so beautiful. And this is what I saw in heaven. The animals talking, the horses talking, and all those animals so beautiful, with absolutely no place needed to get rid of the refuge, because there'll be none. Then going over further in God's heaven, you'll be coming towards the great slippery place, which we're going to talk about, the bottomless pit. But all of us will not go into that, I mean any part of that. And as soon as every last redeemed person's in heaven, there that the doors of that pit will close and be closed forever when it happens. All closed up, be no way of slipping, there's no way of sinning, there'll be no way of any sin, there'll be no sin, there won't be any way for you to sin. You'll be a part of the great glory of the redeemed. And it's so wonderful. Then turning around from the left in the circular part of heaven, you come to the beautiful fruit trees. These fruit trees by the thousands and thousands. You see the gardeners working among them. And they're not cultivating them, but they're just picking the fruit. Picking the fruit, just tons and tons of fruit in the part of heaven where it is. And brought into the big dining room, the banquet house. Loads will be brought in every day of fruit and put on the tables for you to eat. And there'll be 1,000 square miles of a beautiful, great big dining where everybody will gather there in order to really, truly be able to partake together. And then you will have, also you will have, not only that, but the fruit of the vine. Drinking of the wonderful things of God. Drinking of the fruit of the vine. And then you won't eat fish, you won't eat an animal. You'll eat the growth that God has done. So could you imagine the different types of fruit? There'll be fruit, for instance, like tastes like pears, tastes like peaches, tastes like apricots, tastes like grapes. All kinds of different kinds of fruit growing in this interior of heaven. And they'll be so luxurious and big. They won't be little old shriveled up things. And they'll be setting on the table for you when you go into the banking house. And every day. And that restaurant will be open 24 hours a day. You won't have to say, hey, when is this place going to open? You won't be knocking on the door. There'll be fruit on the table all the time because there are going to be billions that are going to have to be fed in heaven of God's glory. And all of that wonderful reality will be so precious that God is going to bless you with eternal life forever. So then, friends, in the next tape, we will be taking you outside of heaven and show you what's on the crust of heaven, or on the outside, which you'll be able to go. In other words, you travel on the outside of this earth, but you'll be also able to travel on the outside of heaven. So the next tape, I'll take you outside of heaven, and it'll be so real. God is real, and you'll enjoy it, and you'll be a part of it. Can you imagine how the redeemed are redeemed, and how the gardeners, and how the different ones, God will bless you so precious. God is real. And friends, be ready to go to heaven. This particular album that we're making is going to be the one that's sent out along with a map of heaven. We're going to make a map of heaven showing all the things I'm talking about and what a great job that is. And I don't know how long it's going to take to get out this map of heaven. It'll be a map of heaven brought down to detail of the exact distance from one part of heaven to the other. Now, big the city of God, and all these things they're talking about will be in this map where you'll be able to look at them, and we'll be able to show them, put them on your wall. It'll be 9 feet long and 4.5 feet wide. This tremendous map showing the whole planet heaven, where it's at, and then showing the city of God in the midst of it. So on this next tape, I'll be taking you outside of heaven, a tour all over the outside of heaven. Are you ready to go to heaven? I'm going to ask prayer for you now. Dear Father, as I pray for those listening to the voice on this tape, speak peace to their heart, Lord, and give them salvation, that they might, O God, be so really born again and feeling the real faith of the Lord. O God, do it, please, and we'll praise you for it. Now kneel down on your knees and say, Jesus, save me. Save me, Lord. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to be left on this earth and go all through the whole tribulation. I want to be in heaven with Jesus. Will you do it? All right. God will bless you. Father, we pray for them that you'll speak peace to their heart. You'll change their minds completely to not to follow the demon powers of this earth anymore, but to turn their life over to God. They might do it, Lord. Now, what you can do, you'll get this tape, and if you get converted through this one particular tape, send me a letter, and I'll let that letter say, heard that tape where you asked me to come to Jesus.